Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
And we also know that He has called us to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we're doing every Sunday. That is exactly what we are doing. And today I am going to continue on in our sermon series, Transforming Lives to the Heart of Jesus Christ. We are looking at what it means to become holy, because that is the first thing we need to understand about transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. But becoming holy has shown us that there are several things we need to do. Today I'm going to be dealing with something that may seem a little difficult, and it may seem a little controversial. However, when we put it into perspective of God's Word and not what we think or desire, it makes greater sense than we'll ever know. For we are told that we are to stay awake unto the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, that's where we're going to begin today. Turning in your scriptures, we're going to look at a holy God and what it means for Him to be awake. Turning to Psalms in 121, the 121st Psalm. This is a psalm that I often read in a time of bereavement, in a time of trial, in a time of trouble. I read this to folks when I'm at the hospital. I read this to, as I said, families during a time of bereavement. I read this in times of trouble around my own life, because I need to be reminded of who God is and the fact that God does not sleep, nor doth He slumber. From the 121st Psalm, we read these words. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. When I look at this word, I can't help but think to myself that when we think about our own selves, the human being, how much time do we spend sleeping? According to the statistics, 1/3 of the human life is spent sleeping. 1/3 of the human life is spent sleeping. So for a person of the age of 70, approximately 23 years have been spent sleeping, or 204,450 hours. Yes, Pastor did that research. Okay, I told you, these sermons that are coming are going to be real. And it's so amazing, because God doth not sleep, nor doth He slumber. That speaks of God's omniscience, God's all-knowingness, that He is always present. That's His omnipresence. So it's two of His omnis wrapped into one expression. And we need to understand, God is awake all the time. God is taking care of everything all the time. What happens to us if we don't sleep? Well, let me tell you. If we don't sleep, some really ugly things begin to happen. Now, this came right out of a medical journal, okay? It's a picture, and it talks about sleep deprivation. I showed it to the men today. You won't believe what our study was on this morning. It just blew my mind, because, it was awesome. And I knew where we were going, but I had no idea how Mitch was going to direct it, because remember, you know, as we are directed, we get to lead where the Holy Spirit leads us, and this is right where God took him, that we need to be people of rest. We need to rest. If we don't, we will end up with memory issues. We will end up with trouble in cognitive thinking. We will end up with severe mood changes. Does that sound like anybody we know? We will find ourselves having more and more accidents, whether it be in a vehicle, at work with power tools, or just walking out of the shower. We will find ourselves with a weakened immunity, which means we will get sick. We will find ourselves with high blood pressure, diabetes, weight gain, low sex drive, risk of heart disease, and poor balance. That is all the signs and symptoms of sleep deprivation. We need to understand our bodies were created in such a way that we have to have rest. We must take a time of rest. But God doth not sleep, nor doth he slumber, because God is not a physical being. God is a spirit. And God's spirit resides in us. So we've got to bring this thing into perspective. One of the things that I want us to understand is God is the only one who doesn't sleep and doesn't slumber. If you remember Elijah, when he was with the prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Tabor, and he was telling them, okay, you call upon your God, I'll call upon my God, and we'll see which one receives the offering. Right? They weren't allowed to set it on fire. They had to put everything there. And the 400 prophets of Baal, man, they're out there. They're chanting and they're dancing and they're doing all this stuff to the point where nothing's happening. And Elijah says this. He says to the priests of Baal, I got to flip my page. He says to the priests of Baal, either he is musing or he is relieving himself or he's on a journey. Or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened because false gods don't hear. But pastor, there are times that I pray to God or times I'm waiting on God and he just doesn't do what I want. God is not run by your expectations. He is God. Things are done in his time. How many of you are glad he didn't give you the things you asked for as a child? I can remember I wanted to marry Bonnie Schellenberger. I was 7 years old. She was going to be my wife. My wife's out of the room, by the way. And boy, I was just, yep, it was all about Bonnie Schellenberger. I have no idea where Bonnie Schellenberger is. But when I look at my life and my little granddaughter just walked out of this room, I praise God and hallelujah, amen. How many of you can say that right now? Now, you may have had trouble getting here, but are you disappointed where here is? No, because here is in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? And that's what we need to remember. God makes a way where there seems to be no way, and it's in his time. He doth not sleep. He doth not slumber. God is not asleep. God is always active and busy for our well-being. When we read Psalm 121, it says in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. We're speaking spiritual realities here, okay? The sun is speaking of the heat and the scorching that comes during the midday. How many of us feel like we're under fire all the time? Just pushed and put. And I read some of your Facebook stuff, so don't tell me you don't. And how many of us fear night terrors? You know, I can remember, and how many of you have ever had a little child that had night terrors where they'd wake up screaming in the middle of the night? I can remember my sister. I mean, my one sister had horrible nightmares, okay? I don't dream anymore. I praise God that I don't dream because my dreams would keep me awake at night. I have insomnia. I need God to put me out. And I pray that at night. Lord, put me down. Shut this thing off. I can't do it. Put me down. I need this sleep. And God does that very thing. God will answer our prayers. In fact, we're told that at night, how many of the saints of old received dreams and visions when they were sleeping? Jacob's ladder, he was laying on the ground, and he sees this ladder going up into heaven. Again, God is guarding him right there. God is constantly aware of what's happening in our lives. I want you to understand, if God was not the God of your nighttime, can you imagine what Satan would be doing with each and every one of us with his demonic presence as we are laying in a vulnerable state? Think about that. Think about that. We hear about these people that tell us, you know, demons were speaking to them and Satan was speaking to them, and they did horrible things. God protects us. He is always there. He doth not sleep and he doth not slumber. We need to understand that God is ministering to us right now in the midst of everything that's going on. While we are here in the daylight, we know that in some people's lives, it's night right now because they're operating in darkness. Can I get an amen? When we look at what is going on in our world, you folks who are out there on the internet probably understand what I'm talking about because you're on the internet. You're looking at things on the internet. Have you seen how much darkness is out there? The stuff that comes across to us? Every tool that God has made, Satan uses for evil. He's an imitator. And we need to understand that that darkness is constantly around us, but the light of Christ is also around us. We need to operate as people of that light. We need to remember that God gives us a song at night. How many of you have ever woken up in the morning and there's a song on your heart? Oh, man, aren't they good days? Aren't they good days? You wake up and it's just like nothing can interfere with that day. But something always tries, doesn't it? Because we're constantly under attack, whether it's in a physical world or a spiritual world. We are under attack. There is a war going on, and that war is for your soul and my soul. And our holy God does not sleep. God says in Psalm 127, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." I actually wanted to tell the men that today, but I figured I needed to save some things for the sermon. Because it is so amazing. We get up and we go to work and we're working and we get home and our mind is still working. We're still thinking about work. In fact, some people bring work home with them and it's work, 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 work. And where's the family come in? Where does your downtime come in? Where does your resting in the Lord come in? Where does your rebuilding come in? You do realize that's what your body does at night when you sleep, okay? When we go in to REM sleep, that's when our body begins to repair itself. If you don't enter REM sleep, your body cannot repair itself. How many of you have ever woken up in the morning and your eyes are puffy and your fingers are puffy and you feel like, oh man, I'm just stiff? It's because you did not enter REM sleep. It's because your body was not given that downtime because this thing would not shut down. But Pastor, didn't you say that we're supposed to be awake unto the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Yeah, in fact, we are told that very truth. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at chapter 5. We're going to look at chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 11. Because this is something that should be concerning each and every one of us right now, especially as we see the seasons of time that are coming before us. From the first verse of chapter 5 in the book of 1 Thessalonians, "Thus saith the Lord. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are also doing. What a word of Scripture when we look at what this means. As you and I come to this place of understanding that, yes, we need rest. Our bodies need physical rest. We need to sleep. God does not sleep. God is spirit. The Spirit of God in us does not sleep either. The Spirit of God is always in tune with the Spirit of God. And he can bring things to your dreams. He can give you visions. And I'm going to tell you right now, he has done those very things with me. And I know several of you here have also experienced those things. Some of you have said to me, Pastor, what does this mean? I don't know. Only God does. If it's truly of God, you need to discern it from him. My name's not Joseph. I don't have the gift of interpreting dreams. Somebody may. But we need to understand God is at work in our lives day and night. You and I need to rest. But we need to be awake in our spirit. What does that mean? It means that we need to be seeing what is going on during our life. We are not to be caught unaware. How many of us are paying attention to everything that's happening in our lives? It is amazing to me because so many of us forget that our world is this big. Most of us, our world is this big, because it's all we can handle. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I need you to take those blinders. You know, we see the Amish. You know, we have Amish here in our community, and all their horses have blinders on. Why do they have blinders on? So they don't see the cars coming out of their peripheral vision and get spooked. Okay, they want that horse looking straight ahead. That's all they want them concentrating on. What's in front of them? God wants us to concentrate on everything. Why do you think God has set our eyes where he has in our being? Because we have peripheral vision. I can see both of my hands right now. And they are completely out to my sides. In fact, they're a little beyond parallel. Why is that? Because God wants us to be aware physically of what is around us for protection purposes, okay? How many of you have ever noticed that a rabbit's head, eyes are on the side of their head? They can not only look forward, but they can almost look backwards. So can a turkey, so can a deer. How about a bear? Nope, they're on the front, just like ours. How about a coyote or a wolf? Nope, they're on the front, just like us. Why? Because they're a predator. They need to concentrate on what's in front of them, seeing what's beside them, but what's in front of them is most important. That's why we are made the way we are. Yes, you and I are a predator, and the evil one knows it. That's why he flees from us. That's why he tries to scare us. That's why he tries to rob us of our sleep. Okay? I want you to think about something. Have any of you any idea what the longest a human being can go without sleep is? Mitch. 11 and a half days. How do you know that? Discipleship hour, you betcha. And that's exactly what I told the guys. One gentleman did it for 11 days, and he survived, but he was messed up afterwards. Another gentleman tried it again to see how long he could go. At 11 and a half days, he literally died. It killed him. Okay? We cannot go without sleep for extended periods of time. Our organs will literally begin to shut down. It is amazing what I'm talking about here. And you and I need to understand, when we are not awake to the spiritual things that are happening in our world, our spiritual being begins to shut down. Do you correlate these things? If you are only concentrated on this, you're never going to get this. And this is going to disappear spiritually. You're not going to be able to see beyond this. And you are going to get hurt to the point where it can literally cost you your life. And I'm talking eternal measures here, people. Because so many people get duped into things that can pull you away from God. Is it possible to lose your salvation? Absolutely not. You cannot lose your salvation. But I will tell you right now, you can give it away. There's a lot of people out there, and I know one dear person out there is going to say, nope, that's not true. Read your Bible. It speaks it several times in the Scriptures that you are in fear of giving up your salvation. You and I need to understand what that means. And the evil one is actually very apt at bringing that about. How many of you have heard of pastors or Christians who have renounced their faith after years of practicing? Anybody ever heard of those folks out there? Yeah, I got elders putting their hands up and shaking their heads. You better believe it. Some of these people were wonderful pastors, led thousands, hundreds of thousands to Christ. Something happened in their life, and they got disillusioned because their expectations weren't met, and the evil one blindsided them with an untruth, and they walked away from their faith. I have professors at Lancaster Bible College who would say, well, they never had their faith. Yes, they did. Why do you think the Scripture says, far better it be to never have tasted and known the goodness of the Lord than to have tasted the Lord and turned on Him? For then there is no sacrifice for sin. Read your word. Again, this comes back to the first premise. We have to be obedient children. If we are going to learn to be awake, if we're going to learn what this scripture here in 1 Thessalonians is talking about, we need to plug into the word to see how this thing fleshes out. That we need to be aware of what is happening in our world, not just our little piece of life. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you have enough in your own life to have to worry about? Well, excuse me, doesn't the scripture say we're not supposed to worry? So you're already being disobedient. Boy, I got some good smiles and smirks coming at me right now. Do we fall to the blinders that Satan has put on? Yes, but it is time to take them off. To transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ means to get out of what this world has thrust upon us and to begin to recapture that which God has given unto us. That we have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit in us to be awake unto all things out there in the world. How many of you are watching what is happening? How many of you just heard the president of our United States say he wants to get rid of all Republicans and have one party? No, that didn't happen. Yes, it did. It just happened. I'm going to tell you right now, evil is coming at us like you would not believe. We can't even question what is coming at us, or we are called terrorists. We are called the most existential threat in modern day because we're asking the question, why? Why? Our Constitution says this, but how dare you? You'll do what we tell you, you'll own nothing and be happy. Have you heard that speech? How many of us are awake to what is happening in our world right now? We are here to see the seasons and the times and to be aware of what is happening around us. I'm telling you, I am not fearful of what is happening. In fact, I love it. I absolutely and positively love it. Why? Because it means the day of the Lord. In fact, I think that's where 1 Thessalonians started. What did it say here? It says, now to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. We know he's on his way. Do I know the day? Absolutely not. Do I know the season? Yes. How? By Matthew 24. Matthew 24 tells me there will be wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, famines, droughts in all kinds of diverse places, earthquakes and famines. Brothers and sisters, we are seeing this stuff exponentially now. We are seeing people so divided. We have never had such a divided United States, not only the United States, but the entire world. The entire world. They have literally said in China that when they go to the Third World War, they are going to have a group of military in the country to put down the civil unrest that's going to happen. You think I'm joking? My eyes are wide open. My ears are open. I'm listening to what's being spoken. Okay? How many billions of dollars have we sent to Ukraine? And how much of that money is making it to the front line? How much of that money is paying for their military establishment's paychecks and then some? How much of that money do you think is getting kicked back into the senators and congressmen who are sending it there? Any of you going to apply for a $20,000 college reimbursement? Come on, are we awake? The scripture's very clear, and you and I need to understand. God wants us to be awake so we can talk to the masses, to bring them to this place of hope where, man, what did I just tell you? We can rest. God's got our back. Isn't that what I just said? Katie, how do you feel now after having been there and received the glory of God's grace in prayer and knowing your little boy is going to be okay? Feel pretty good, huh? Yeah. No fear anymore, huh? It's a good feeling. What did I tell you? Think good thoughts, because good thoughts will send good to the baby. You think negative, you start thinking pessimistically, oh, we're going to die. No, I ain't going to die. I'm not destined for wrath. I'm destined for glory. But before I get out of here, according to the book of Jude, I'm supposed to shake the very gates of hell. And so are you. When we are coming at this with the mentality of what is being spoken here in 1 Thessalonians, that we are to be alert, we are to be sober, we are not to be drunk, we are not to be asleep as many do. But wait a minute, Pastor, because it says down here in verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Yeah, do you know what that's talking about? When you are awake during the day or at night, depending on your shift, okay? I pity poor Wayne. He works three different shifts all the time. How does that man put sleep under his pillow? I do not know. I couldn't do it. But that scripture is talking about us. When we are sleeping, when we are awake, God is to be foremost and foremost on our thoughts. But it is also speaking about a different type of sleep. What other type of sleep is there? When we are no longer alive here on this planet. Okay? Asleep means dead in Christ. All right? Whether we are awake or asleep, whether you are here on this side of the grave or on that side of the grave. Okay? There's a song out there and there's a saying out there. It says, it's a good day to be on this side of the grass. I think it's going to be a good day in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter which side of the grass I'm on. But until I'm under the grass, I got work to do in this physical body. Because once I become a spiritual being, I can't do it down here no more. But while I am a physical spiritual combination, I am to be awake unto all things, and I am to be prepared for that which is coming. What do you mean, Pastor? You're supposed to be prepared. Turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 6 through 21. Verse 6 through 21. Powerful words today. Powerful words. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have that power within us. That power is the power of a God who doth not sleep, nor does he slumber. And he is in us to provide for us, to protect us, and to give us insight into all things. From verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and saying and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ. Wow. Did you just read that scripture with me? How many of you are now afraid of what's coming our way? There is no way I am going to fear what is in store for us. There is no way I am going to fear what is coming. We're already told. Have you read the book of Revelation? I think everybody in the church has read the book of Revelation. Do we understand all of it? That's another question. Yeah, I had a father over here give me one of those, yeah, well. We can understand a good portion of it. But some of that apocalyptic writing is kind of hard to wrap our heads around. But it's so amazing because when the Holy Spirit begins to teach it to you because you're longing into it, it's amazing what you begin to see happening in our world. The seven churches represent seven ages of the church. It also represents seven different times in the life of a church. God's word is so deep. Okay? It's fairly narrow, but it is so deep. It is unbelievable, okay? It's like an Olympic pool. An Olympic pool is only so wide, but it's deeper than the pool at your house, isn't it? Why is that? Because those people do deep dives, and they need deep water. How many of us are willing to get into the deep water? We need to remember, what is the water? Are you ready to do a deep dive? Can you hold your breath? You ain't got to hold your breath. The Holy Spirit's got to hold on you. And it's His breath in our lungs. We don't have to worry about drowning because He's our lifeline. He holds, the anchor holds in the storm. How many of us read this book? How many of us walk by this book? Oh, my heavens. I got goosebumps right now. We have such hope. This world can throw everything at us, and all we have to do is be like a duck in a rainstorm. shake it off. Because it don't stick. It ain't mine and I ain't taking it. The Lord Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death and has brought me into that place of life and light and understanding. And what does understanding mean but to come under? You understand, which means you come up under it. It has authority over you. Who is it? Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. Can I get an amen? And that's where we have to live. It is in this word that we are to be therefore imitators. Verse 1 in chapter 5. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Wow! When we begin to see what's happening in our world and we begin to illuminate the things that are happening in people's lives, in our life, do we like it? No. Does sticking your head in the sand make it go away? No. It's going to make it even worse for you because you're not prepared to deal with it. But when we open our eyes and allow God to prepare our heart, why do you think He gave us this book? Why would He tell us about the end if He didn't want us to be ready for it? That's why He gave it. We need to be awake, dear brothers and sisters. We need to be awake physically and spiritually. Yes, we need times of rest because we're physical beings. But even while we rest, the Spirit of God does not. He is right here protecting us, keeping us, and watching over us. But while we are awake, when we are up from our rest, we need to yet be awake unto all things in our world. And hold these truths in Christ. What do they mean? What do we see? I think it's funny because I've been watching conspiracy theorists for the last 4 years. Actually, it's longer than that. 20 years ago, I knew this stuff was coming. Ask me about that sometime. That's a long story. It's not a sermon. But for the past couple years, I've been watching these people that are saying, this is coming, that's coming, this is coming, that's coming. And, oh, that's conspiracy theorists. This stuff's not going to happen. Folks, do you realize that many of our conspiracy theorists have now become fact? Have now become fact. They saw what was coming and see what is yet coming. We're told, don't believe it. Don't look into it. Oh, my heavens. You got to take the full picture. Yeah, I'm going to take the full picture, but I'm going to let the truth come through. And if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a duck. I'm tired of them changing definitions on us. It's time that we hold to one definition, one truth. It's time we wake up, old sleepers, and Christ will shine in you. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you so much for the word that you have given us, that we need to be awake just as you are awake. But we need to be trusting, Lord, that even in our rest, when we must rest, and we must rest, that you are there helping us. And Lord, that's why we're able to rest. There are so many people in our world that can't rest because of everything that's happening. Lord, we don't fear. You've told us what's coming. We love you, and you love us. We'll not see wrath, but we are to help those come to that place of accepting that faith, understanding the hope, knowing the power of restoration and the glory of grace. So, Lord, help us to be children awake unto the salvation of many. And may your name be glorified, for you are that salvation, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.